Okay, let's make up for lost time a little bit. Yesterday with the power outage, no shear. So I'm not going to do yesterday's entire daf, but we'll start a little bit further back on the daf than we normally would. On daf Kuf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, let's start from the two dots. So the Gemara tells a story. It flows right into the bottom of the page, so pays to go back a little bit. So the Mishnah said, V'chein Shmuel Gamliel Omer, Ha'ariv Isha Biksu Basa. Right. So the Gemara quotes the line of the Mishnah that says that if someone is an arev for a woman on her ksuba and the husband divorces her, so the halacha is if there's an arev on the ksuba and the husband's divorcing her, the husband should take a neder that he's not allowed to get hana'a from those nechassim. Why? Because we assume that if he's allowed to get hana'a from those nechassim, whenever he needs money, he's going to divorce his wife, she'll collect the ksuba from the arev, then he'll remarry her and he'll enjoy the money. So we don't want them to do such a kanunya, we don't want them to do such a trick, so we make sure that he takes a neder to be certain in advance that he's divorcing her legitimately and not just to be able to get money out of the arev. So says the Gemara story. Moshe bar Atzri arvad the ksubasa de kalasehava. Moshe bar Atzri was the arev of the ksuba of his daughter-in-law. So his son was married, and he took on himself to be the arev, to be the cosigner for the ksuba of his daughter-in-law. Rav Huna bereit surba midrabanan hava udchik le milsa. Rav Huna, his son, was a Talmud Chacham, and the Gemara seems to assume it goes hand in hand, and therefore his financial situation wasn't so great. Right? It was the chik le milsa. Va'amra baye leka denezel denisfe yetzal Rav Huna denigrushal debitu v'tezel v'tigvi ksuba me'avua v'hadunehadra. So Abaye says, why doesn't anyone give the simple advice to Rav Huna? There's very simple advice. Let him go divorce his wife, and then after he divorces his wife will have to collect the ksuba, but who's she going to collect it from? He doesn't have any money. She'll collect the ksuba from his father. His father was the arev, the cosigner. So wonderful. She'll collect the ksuba from the father, and then let them get remarried, and they'll have all that money. I don't know why he couldn't just go to the father and tell him that he needs, he needs some help. I don't know, maybe he's too proud. He'd rather do a trick like this. But whatever it was, Abaye says, why doesn't someone give Rav Huna that advice? That way he'll be able to get the money from the father. So, Amr Le Rava, maybe Sonny Matanas Yichya, he doesn't want to go to his father for a gift, but he'd rather go to the, but maybe doing this is not a Matana. It's a Chov. He was Meshabit himself as an Arev. So, Amr Le Rava, Vahayad Yirena Hana Tanan. So, Rava says, what are you talking about? It's Yirena Hana. It says in the Mishnah that you have to be madir hana, that if you're going to divorce your wife and there is a co-signer on the ksuba, you have to take a neder that you're not going to get any hana from the nechassim of the person who's co-signed on the ksuba, because we're afraid of exactly this. This is exactly the problem. This is what we don't want to happen. Samalei Abaye atu called him a garish beidin megarish. He says, yeah, if you go and get divorced in Beis Din will make sure that you take a neder that you're not going to get hana from the co-signer. Who gets divorced in Beis Din? Just write a get and give a get with two Eidim. What do you need to go to Beis Din for? So, Einachinami. If you go to Beis Din, they're going to make sure you do it this way. But so don't go to Beis Din. And then you can do it however you want. You don't have to take a nedra na, and you'll be able to pull this off. It's still a little bit strange, because the bottom line is that there's a reason that Beis Din does that. Beis Din does that because they think that it's wrong to get divorced in this way. And this is what Abaye is suggesting, that he should go to Chachila and get divorced in this way, get divorced just to be able to get the money from his father. It's very, very difficult to understand what's going on. What's even more difficult, I got two texts yesterday from different people asking on the next line of the Gemara. The Gemara says, L'sof v'glay milsa de kohen hu. Then it became revealed that he was a kohen, and that's why he couldn't do this. So what does it mean? The sof glay milsa de kohen hu. The sof, he didn't know he was a kohen. So the truth is, there are many ways to understand this. First way to understand this is not that he didn't know he was a kohen. What the Gemara said was that Abaye was wondering, why doesn't anybody give him this great advice that I have of let him get divorced, collect the money from the arev, and then get remarried? So perhaps all the Gemara is saying. All the Gemara is saying is, then Abaye realized that he was a Kohen, and that's why no one had given him that advice. That's why no one gave Rav Huna that advice, because it wasn't going to work for Rav Huna. Once he divorces his wife, he's not going to be able to remarry her. So it could be that it's just on the simplest level, that it's not talking about Rav Huna realized that he was a Kohen. It's Abaye realized that Rav Huna was a Kohen, and once he realized Rav Huna was a Kohen, his Kasha wasn't a Kasha anymore. It could also be sometimes people find out later on in life that they're a Kohen. What I found interesting is that if you look at the Rashbam and the word Atzri, right, the Gemara starts with Moshe Bar Atzri was an Arvid Ksubasa de Kalase Hava. First of all, it's very unusual in Shas someone has the name Moshe. The name Moshe, we don't find it. There are no Tanaim named Moshe, right, as far as we knew until now. No Amoraim named Moshe. And here you have Rafuna's father. His name was Moshe. So you see the name was in use already. The name was back in use, I should say, at the times of the Amoraim, which I found somewhat interesting. But anyway, the Rashbam and the word Atri says Kohen Hava, V'imegarish Sula Matziah Mahadula. So what's Rashbam doing in that line? He was a Kohen, and therefore if he divorces, he can't remarry her. Rashbam's just saying what the Gemara says. The Gemara says it five lines later, right? And there's no, so sometimes Rashi will do that. Sometimes Rashi will tell us something that the Gemara will tell us later on. But when does Rashi do that? When there's something in that line that you can't possibly understand. When there's something that you can't possibly read that line straight without Rashi filling you in on something that the Gemara is going to fill you in later. So Rashi will fill you in earlier to make sure that you, just so you can read the line straight. Over here, is the story at all problematic? Meaning the story that the father was the cosigner of the daughter-in-law's ksuba. It's not a fundamentally flawed story. So what's Rashbam doing by saying that, by adding in this line? What it leads you to believe, and I didn't see this anywhere, so I'm hesitant to say it, but it leads you to believe that Rashbam didn't have the same gears in the Gemara that we have, where the Gemara itself fleshes this out later. And it could be that this is some later perush that was added into the Gemara or something like that. In which case, meaning it's just explaining why no one gave this advice. Meaning Rashbam says no, it's a davar pashut. He must have not had abayis kasha. I don't know. It's a very very strange thing. He definitely has abayi somewhere here in this Gemara because the next thing is v'amar abayi the kasha and abayi. But it's very difficult to understand what the Rashbam is trying to accomplish over there. Okay, so says the Gemara Vaitu. So Goy Milsa the Kohen Hu. So then it became revealed that he was a Kohen. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, Haim Damri Inshi, so that's what people always say, Basar Anya Azla Anyusa, that the poor get poorer. You know, Nebuch, the guy, his only way out of the poorhouse is by doing this, and now it turns out he's a Kohen, just his luck. The one disadvantage of being a Kohen, so, you know, that's what comes back to bite him. Umiyam Rabbi Hachid, but does Rabbi really say this? Vaham Rabbaye, Ezu Rasha Arum Zah Masi Eitzah Limkar Bin Lachasim Kar Bashim Gom Liel. Does Rabbi really suggest that this is a good Eitzah, that go and get divorced so that you can collect the father's money and then split the money when you get remarried? Doesn't Rabbaye say that what's the definition of a Rasha Arum, someone who gives an eitzah to sell nuchasim like Rav Shmuel Gamliel? Says Rashbam, Ezu Rasha Arum Hamisaber Al Riv Lo Lo Umevatel Machsheves Hanosein Shomer Nichsei Lach Vacharech Leploni. Right, someone gives a matana, he says my nuchasim should go to you and then to so and so. Ubritzona Lo Hayarishon Mocher LaAcherim LaHafser Acharecha. And he doesn't want the first one to sell to other people because that's going to make the next guy in line lose. So Arum, the Mikol Makom Matzliachu, that's called Arum because he's Matzliach, meaning selling it works and it does keep it away from the second guy, but that's wrong. Umasha Asa Aswe Shadnosin Lomicha Bishasa Matana, but nevertheless, it's a binding sale. And similarly over here, you're just doing something wrong. You're just doing something that clearly wasn't the machshava of the guy originally. So answers the Gemara, b'no shiny, it's tzur mirabanan shiny. It's different with the sun, and it's different with the tzur mirabanan. So since it's the sun, and the sun happens to be tzur mirabanan, so for sure he's allowed to do this. But wait a second, this is an Arev. Don't we know that an Arev on a Ksuba is not really Meshabed himself, that it's a little bit meaningless when an Arev signs on a Ksuba? He doesn't really have Das to be Meshabed himself. So this is more Kablan Hava. He's not an Arev, he's the more serious form of Arev that we call a Kablan. So if you hold that a Kablan on a ksuba, even when the husband has no nechasim, he's really mishtabing himself, so that works out great. So you could say he's a kabban, husband and no nechasim, perfect. So then he's really mishtabing himself. But if you hold that the kablon, even a kablon on a ksuba, is only mishabed himself when the husband has nechasim, but if the husband didn't have any nechasim to begin with, the kablon would never really be mishabed himself. So then what are you going to say? This is Rav Hunuz, it's Sermon Rabbanan, Mistama, he never had anything. So this is Gemara, two possibilities. So it could be that he once did have, meaning even though he's a Sermon Rabbanan, it doesn't mean he was poor his entire life. Could be he once had nechasim and they got ruined, they got destroyed, and now he's poor. So that's why he's dechik le'milsa. Now he's in a tough spot because all of his nechasim got ruined, right? Which, as we know, is an even tougher spot than someone who was poor his entire life, right? That's the halacha in tzedakah, that it's considered tzedakah to give to someone who had and lost more so than to someone who never had, meaning you have to give tzedakah to a person to the point that you bring him up to his prior level of wealth. So a person had and lost, and that's the lashon d'chik le'milsa. It was very difficult for him. It makes more sense when he had and lost. V'iba yisema. Or you could say, no, Abba legabe brei shubud v'mishabi nafshe, that a father to his son is always going to be mishabed himself. That's a special relationship between a father and a son, that a father always wants to be mishabed himself to a son. So the question in the Rishon, do you say Dafka Av legabe bno is mishabed himself, but not the other way around, not a ben legabe abba, or an abba to other relationships, is Dafka, meaning a man to his brother or other relatives, is it Dafka Av legabe bno, or is it more like a family thing? Right? We know that even within Krovim, so there are certain halachas that apply to all Krovim, that apply to anyone who's one of the Zion Krovim. Krovim, like Avelus and Psulei Eidus apply even beyond Zion Krovim, right? And then there are certain halachos that are limited to the special relationship and Rachmanus a father has on a son. We're going to learn in Sanhedrin soon, not so soon, but Babim Machteres, right? That when someone comes in tunneling into your house in the middle of the night, so if you see that it's your father, you can be sure he's not planning on killing you, and therefore there's no self-defense argument that you can kill him, because a father would never kill a son, but a son to a father, no, maybe he would come to kill you. So as self-defense, you can kill him, because you could assume that he is coming to kill you. So you see that there's a certain type of rachmanis and a certain relationship that it's dafka from a father to a son and not the reverse. So here so that's the discussion over here in the Rishonim and Achronim. Is it dafka abba legabe brei? But at the very least, it is abba legabe brei. We assume is mishabit himself. The itmar arev the ksuba divrei akol mishabit. An arev on a ksuba, everyone agrees, is not really mekabel on himself to be completely mishabit himself to the ksuba. Kablon de Balchov, divrei kol mishtabed. On the other extreme, when it's not a ksuba and it's not an arev, it's stronger than an arev, it's a kablon, and it's not a ksuba, it's a real chov, it's a balchov, everyone agrees in that situation, the person, the co-signer, is absolutely mishabed himself. What about in the middle two cases, where you have one factor and not the other? Kablon de ksuba, va'arev de balchov, pligi, where you have a kablon on a ksuba or an arev on a balchov, so that's where you'll have machlokas. Mar savari I isle nichse lelove mishtabed I lesle lo mishtabed. So one shita holds that if the lova has nechasim, so then the guy will be mishabed himself, the cosigner will be mishabed himself. If he doesn't have nechasim, the cosigner will not be mishabed himself. Umar savar bein isle bein lesle mishtabed. No matter what the lova has, he's always going to be mishabed himself. V'hilchasa, and the halacha is arev, by the case of an arev, bein isle bein lesle mishtabed. Bar me arev de ksuba. An arev is always going to be mishabed himself unless it's on a ksuba. No matter what the lova has, whether he has nechasim, doesn't have nechasim, an arev is always going to be mishabed himself, except for on a ksuba. The afligav the isle labal lo mishtabed. And by a ksuba, even if he does have nechasim, the arev is not going to be mishabed himself. My taima, why is the arev not going to be mishabed himself on the ksuba, even if isle labal? Because we assume mitzvah hu da'avad v'lav midichasra. Why is he co-signing on the ksuba? It's not because he really plans on paying or wants to pay or really even agrees to pay. He's just hoping to get these people married. Mitzvah hu da'avad. Says Rashbam, what's the mitzvah? second to last skinny line. Hamishadech bezivugan ein daito lefroa haarvus av miskavim lezavgan shalidei avrazu misratzin. The only way to get this shidduch going, he knows that they're right for each other, and he knows that they should be marrying each other. But he also knows that unless all the dini mamonos are worked out, there's no way that the shidduch is going to happen. So in order to push along the shidduch, he says, you know what, I'll be an arev. Is he really seriously being an arev? No, he just wants them to get married. And what's this line of v'lom midi chasra? So says Rosh Bam, v'lom midi chasra li'isha. And besides, he doesn't even feel so badly about it, because she's not really losing anything, so he won't be able to pay the ksuba. What did she lose in the end of the day? After all, overall, she's benefiting a great deal. She's getting married, which overall is something that she wants more than anything else in the world. So she's not losing anything, meaning she's not even putting any money into this. It's just a ksuba. It's a promise of money that she doesn't have now to be able to get in the future if they get divorced or the husband dies. But that's not money that she had that she's losing. It's money that she never got that she won't be getting if the Ariv doesn't agree to pay. That's all it is, and for that he doesn't feel so bad. So the question is, the Gemara says that the reason he's not really mishabed himself is because it's a mitzvah and lav midi chasra. Which one of those is dafka? Which one is lav dafka? Or are they both dafka? Meaning, is in order for the guy not to be mishabed himself, do you need both factors? Both the fact that it's a mitzvah plus the fact that she's not losing anything, or is one of the factors enough? So Tosfos writes in Maseches Gittin. Tosfos writes in Maseches Gittin on Daf Nun Amud Aleph Dibra Maskil Mitzvah that you need both of the factors. You need both the fact that he's Meshabed himself because of the mitzvah, and that she's not losing anything in this ksuba, and that's why she's agreeing to get married. But where he's not doing a mitzvah, what would be an example where he's not doing a mitzvah when he's an Arev on a ksuba? For instance, he becomes an Arev after the Nisuin already, right? They then add him as a cosigner to the ksuba. So he's not doing a mitzvah. She's still not chaser klum. She's still not losing anything, because again, it's nothing that was ever magiela in the first place. Never, nothing that she ever had. It wasn't money that she had that she's going to be losing. But he's no longer doing a mitzvah. So then he says the shibud is going to be chal. Then we assume the arev is meshabe nafshei. And also, if he's meshabe machmas mitzvah, but somehow she is chaser, also we'll assume that the shibud is going to be chal. So let's say the guy becomes an Arev on the Ksuba, and as part of the deal, she says, look, if you get an Arev, I'm going to bring in more Nichsei Tzon Barzel to the marriage. Right? So she's agreeing to bring in more money if he gets an Arev on the Ksuba. So now she is losing something, right? Now she's agreeing to be chaser a lot more. So then, that's what the Hagos Mordechai, that's quoted in the Taz and Evna Ezer, suggests, that now she is losing something. So if you hold like Tosfos that you need both in order to assume that the guy's not mishabed himself, well, you don't have both over there because she is going to be losing something. But not everyone agrees to the Shitas HaTosfos. The Arzurua quotes that some say that the Ikur HaKoveh is that he shouldn't be mishabed because of the mitzvah. The Ikur HaKoveh that he's not being mishabed himself is because of the mitzvah element, not the fact that lo chasra midi is just something the Gemara throws in at the end, but really the main point is that he's doing a mitzvah, and that's why he's not really being mishabed himself. He says that's why Yehuda says at the when Yehuda get what's the source of arvus, right? So we said one of the sources was Yehuda. That Yehuda says I'm going to guarantee Binyamin's safety, right? So what does he say? Miyadi tivakshenu, that you can seek him from me, you can take it on my hands, right? So why not just Anochi Arvenu? Why isn't that enough? Anochi Arvenu, why does he have to then add in Miyadi Tivakshenu? Because when you say Anochi Arvenu, it's not a raya that he's an arev, because he might have just said that because of the mitzvah element. What's the mitzvah element? He didn't want his brothers to starve. They desperately needed food. So he was doing this great mitzvah by coming up with something, making his father feel good so that we can do this mitzvah of getting everybody food. So that's why it could be that he wasn't really being mishabed himself, because mitzvah alone is enough reason not to be mishabed. So that's why he had to say, no, I'm really being mishabed myself. You can really come to me with a taina. And that's a full shibud. So that's the sheet of the Arzurua, that it's all a din in mitzvah. It has nothing to do with whether she's chas or anything. The Ritva says the opposite. that the Iker Tam is really whether she's chaser or anything or not. And it has nothing to do, the mitzvah element of it is not really the primary element at all. Okay, says the Gemara of Vayitzin. Five lines from the bottom. We're almost at today's daf. Amar Rav Huna, Shchiv Mirah Sheikdish Kol Nechasa V'Amar Manal Ploni B'Yadi Neman. Shchiv Mirah is Makdish all of his Nechasim, and he says, you know, amongst my Nechasim, they're not all mine. There's some stuff that belongs to so-and-so. So does that go to Hegdish also, or do we assume that, no, he's telling the truth, and therefore that money goes to that guy. So now money's believed, and the money's going to go to that guy. Chazaka Eina D'Mosa Kununi Al Hegdish. And the reason we assume that way is because we have a Chazaka. People don't play games with Hegdish. This is Hegdish, you're not going to mess around and play games with Hegdish. Fractosos, Chazaka, Reshchim Rasham Manu Ploni Biyadi V'chule, Kasha Lari, Hadubai Parak Nisha Meis. Tosus asks, what about the Gemara early in this Masechta? Shchiv Mirah Shehigdish Kol Nechasav Mahu, right? It asks, what about a Shchiv Mirah who's Makdish all of his Nechasim? Right? So what's the din when he's Makdish all of his Nechasim? So Tisha Mehachadim, meaning, what was the Gemara asking? The Gemara was asking, what if he's Makdish all of his Nechasim, then he gets better? So we know that if a guy gives all of his Nechasim to somebody else as a Shchiv Mirah, and then he gets better, so we assume that the Matana is not a Matana, that he was only giving it because he thought he was going to die, but now he got better and he didn't intend to give it. What about when he was being makdish all of it and then he gets better? What's the din? So Frektosos, why aren't we just mitaritz from our Gemara? Tifshut mehacha dim amad eno chozer. We should learn from our Gemara that you can't go back if he gets better. Di chozer, chozer kemo b'matanaso vim ken pshita d'neman. Because if you can be chozer, so then of course over here you're going to be neman. Umay kanun yashayach v'alo hayyachol lachzubo miyad. Meaning if when a guy is giving the chasim to Hegdish as a shchiv mira, he can be chozer right away. Right, so then of course he's neman to say that some of it doesn't belong to me and therefore shouldn't go to Hegdish. He could have even been chozer without any excuse. So when he comes up with an excuse and he comes up with an explanation that it doesn't belong to him, of course he has the right to be chozer. So says Tosfos, v'nir l'ri demari b'shchiv mirah sheikdish k'shahaya bari es nechasav v'amar hashtanami manu l'poni b'yadi neman. Now our case is that he was makdish as nechasim not when he was a shchiv mirah, but when he was a bari. And then, as he's a Shchiv Mirah and he realizes he's about to die, he says, oh, wait a second, let me just clarify, not everything in my house is mine. I have something that belongs to so-and-so. So that's where our Gemara is being Mechadish, is going to be Neman. Why does it say Shchiv Mirah? V'hai d'nakat Shchiv Mirah mishum d'davka hashta mehemen. It's because only when he's a Shchiv Mirah now is he going to be believed. Because I'm reading Perek Shumay Yisom, Perek Shumay Sadiyan, de'inad mechote v'lalo, avul b'bari v'adai chashinan. But when he's a Bari, then we're suspicious. If he was totally a Bari and he just gave his Nechasim to Hegdish, then he says, oh, but not everything in my house belongs to me, we're very suspicious of that. But when he's a Shchiv Mirah at the end, when he backs out partially, he's a Shchiv Mirah, that's when we're going to believe him. Says Gemara Vayta, three lines from the bottom. Maskal for Rav Nachman v'chi adam also kununya al banav. Yeah, you want to say a person doesn't make kununya al hegdish? Does a person make a kununya on his children? Does he mess around with his kids? To Rav Shmuel Damri Tarvayu, Shchiv Mirah Shamar Manal Ploni Biyadi Amar Tnu Nosin. Shchiv Mirah that says that I have money that belongs to so and so in my hands, and he says Tnu, I want you to give it back to him. So the lacha is the yarshim should give it back. Lo Amar Tnu, but if he doesn't say give it back, a nosin, the yarshim have no responsibility to give it back. I, the father, said that it belongs to a different guy. So why don't they have to give it back? Alma adam asir shalala hasbia es banav. We have a chazaka that a person will try to make it look like his children have as little money as possible. And it's in their best interest to make it look like they don't have that much money. Because if it looks like they do have a lot of money, so what? What's going to happen if it looks like they have a lot of money? So Rabbeinu Gershom says that people are going to say, oh, look at this. Look at the kind of Yerusha he left his children. And it's going to be an Ayin Hara. Yad Ramah says, not much more practical. Not Ayin Hara. But he doesn't want people to know that he has a lot of money. Because then you're a target. You're a target for Gazlanim. You're a target for Chamsanim. People are going to come after you in all sorts of ways. So Adamasir Shlolas Bias Banav. Over here as well, there's a discussion. Is this Dafka Banav, or it's whoever happens to be Yorishim? Let's say he doesn't have sons. The Sma writes in Simon Pei Aleph in Choshem Mishpat, Sma writes that Dafka Gabe Banav, we say this, that a person is not, that they don't have to give the money to the Ploni, because we don't assume he was telling the truth. We assume the man was just trying to make it look like he's not leaving as big of a Yerusha. But any other Yorish, he would be Naaman, and Yorishim would have to give the money to the Ploni. We do believe the guy that he actually owes the money to this other person. However, the Shach disagrees. The Shach says, no, Adam Asir Shalom Lahasbiyah as Banav, and this any of his Yarshim, he's Asir Shalom Lahasbiyah. He doesn't want to do this to any of his children. But, so that's the Machlokas HaPoskim, whether this is dafka a child or not. So anyway, the bottom line is, Hachanami, Adam Asir Shalom Lahasbiyah as Atzmo. So shouldn't we say the same thing over here, that it's Adam Asir Shalom Lahasbiyah as Atzmo, that a person doesn't want to make himself look very rich, and therefore maybe when he was makdish kol nechasim, and then he said, "Yeah, mana l'ploni biadi," maybe he wasn't really telling the truth. Maybe he was just trying to make it look like he doesn't have that much money. So the answer is the Gemara: Ki kam Rav Huna hasam did nakit shtara. Now you know when Rav Huna said his din that a shchivmera that's makdish all of his nechasim, and then he says, "Yeah, but not all, everything in my house is mine. I have something that belongs to a different person." That's only did nakit shtara. That's only when the Malva has a shtar that says that this guy owes him money. And he says, yes, he's Mode. He says, yes, you're right. Not everything in my house belonged to me for me to be Makdish. I do owe you money. So bottom line is, Mechal, the Rav Ushmuel, the Lo Nakit Shtara. So that implies that the din of Rav and Shmuel, again, keep the name straight over here. Who is Rav and Shmuel? They were the ones that say that Rilgabe Yarshin, that if a man on his deathbed, a Shchivra says, I owe Ploni money, and he never says, I want you to give it, right? So we assume the children do not have to give it. But the implication is that the case is lo nakit shtara, right? And still, Amar Tnu, if he says to yes, give it, nosnin, then the Yarshim have to give the money, even though the other party does not have a shtar. The Malva has no proof with the shtar that there's any money owed. It's just the father's word before he died that I owe this guy money, and I want you, my children, to give him the money. So frak the Gemara, but why should that be the case? Why should the children have to give it? Milva al pehava. It's a verbal loan. It's nothing written in a shtar. Uravu Shmuel, and it's the same Rav and Shmuel. Dami travayu milva al peh. Nugava lo minu yarshim, lo minu kuchos. Who say that a milva al peh can't collect from Yarshim? So why do the Yarshim have to pay it back over here? So says the Gemara, Ella Amar Rav Nachman, idi dinakit shtara. We have to say both in Rav Huna's case and in Rav and Shmuel's case, we're talking about where the Malva has a shtar. Both in Rav Huna's case, where a man is makdish all of his nechasim, and he then claims that some of those nechasim belong to somebody else. And in Rav and Shmuel's case, where he has yarshim, and he tells the yarshim some of this money belongs to somebody else, they're both talking about where the malva is holding a shtar. Isn't it a stira then between Rav Huna, where we assume that the guy is neman, and Rav and Shmuel, where we assume that the guy is not neman, he's just trying shalol asbiya as banav? Lo kasha, had mekuyam, had la mekuyam. There are shtaros, and then there are shtaros, right? So if the one is talking about where they have a shtar makuyam, so if the malva is a shtar makuyam, then he's much more likely to be able to collect. That's where Rav Huna was talking. Rav and Shmuel, where he said that all the masr shlo lasbias banav, and that there's not going to be any real collection here, that's talking about that it's lo makuyam. The shtar wasn't as binding because it was not makuyam. Amar tenu, and that's why only if he says give it, so then they're going to have to give. Why? That's being mekayim the shtar right there by saying tenu. Lo amar tenu, lo kayim el shtarei. But if he never said tenu, then he was never mekayim the shtar. That's not a kiyum of the shtar. Fine. Period. New story. Actually, if you look at Tosos on Hadu Mekuyam, says Tosvim Tomar Hadu Nakat Shtar Mekuyam Tzrich LeMeimer Deneman. Right? Why would you need to say the guy's believed if the Malva has a Shtar Mekuyam? Forget about why would you need to say he's believed. What do you mean believed? There's no Nemanus here. The guy's got a Shtar Mekuyam. It says they owe money. That's not an issue of Nemanus, that I believe him, that he owes the money. Believe him. It says in a Shtar that he owes the money, and it's a Shtar Mekuyam. So if you look a few lines further down, it says, Tosas Yishlomar, Tekulu Itzrich Ligvos Below Shvua. The Nemanus helps in the sense that he can even be gova without a Shvua. Dilava El Shtara, because if all he's got is a Shtar, even if it's a Shtar Mekuyam, have a Bay Shvua. Yes, he'd be able to collect, but at the very least, he would have to take a shvua in order to be able to collect. Person wants to get paid back from nechasim u'shabadim, he's going to have to go and take a shvua. So the ne'emanus over here does help. It helps in the sense that he doesn't have to take a shvua. Okay, nu din, back in the Gemara. Amar Rabba, shchivmer shamar manu l'ploni biyadi, v'amru yisomin paranu Ne'amanin. A Shkrivna says, I owe money to so and so. The Yisomim say, yes, our father owed the money, and that's why we've already paid it. So they're believed to say they already paid it. To Numan Laploni, but if the Shkrivna doesn't say that I owe money, he says, give money to Ploni, Vamri Yisomim Paranu, and the Yisomim say, we've already paid it, Ne'amanin. They're not believed. So Freklamar, Klapilaya, Ibcha Mistarva. That's backwards. It should be just the opposite. Amar tnu mana, if he says tnu mana, given the paskavu in the milsa iklamemer de pare, since the father was so definite about it, he said, I want you, he was very specific. There's no way to reinterpret those words. He says, go give this money to Ploni. So then that's more reason to assume that they would have listened to him and that they would have given it. Mana la Ploni biadi, given the law paskavu in the milsa iklamemer de pare. But if you just say mana la Ploni biadi, and he never says tnu, he just says, yeah, I owe this guy money. So since the father himself was never so definite, he was never so strong about it, so it could be that that lo pare, that he never paid it, right? So that's the more reason to assume the children did not pay it. So Eli itmar hachi itmar. So the Gemara says, you know what? In order to make sense of it, we should really read it as follows: Shchiv mirah sha'amar manel ploni biyadi. If a shchiv mirah says that manel ploni biyadi, I owe ploni money. Va'amri yisomin chazar va'amar lanu abba parati. The yisomin don't say we paid it. The Yisomim come back and say, yeah, our father told us at a later time that he had already paid it, ne'amanim. Then they are believed. My taima, it's kuri mitkar. Could be that he was reminded that when he said manel ploni, they said, yeah, you did borrow the money, but remember you paid it back. And then he was reminded that he did pay it back. But he wasn't so certain at first. All he said was, yeah, there was a loan. There was manel ploni biyadi. But to new manel ploni. But if he makes a definitive statement, I want you to go give this money to so and so. Va'amr Yisomin, and the Yisomin say chazar va'amr Abba parati. That Abba then told us later on that he had paid it. Ein ne'amanim. They're not going to be believed. De'misa de'pare lava amr tenu. If he ever paid it back, he would never be so definitive that he didn't. He would never say tenu, right? He might mention the loan and, you know, not recall exactly, but once he says tenu, then you know for sure that he's certain that he has not paid it back. So what's difficult over here is we're saying chazav amr lanu abba parati, right? That they're saying that parati. So Tosafot points out that's dafka in the case where hainu parati kodem l'chein, that they have to be claiming that the father came back and said, I paid it back earlier. I paid it back before I told you the first instruction, and I just had forgotten about it. So you can only say that he had forgotten about it if he said mana l'ploni, but not if he says tnu mana l'ploni, right? The obvious point being that if the father told them 2 weeks later, 2 weeks after the first instruction, he says tnu mana l'ploni on February 1st. Comes back on February 15th and says, yeah, I paid it last week. You remember when I said tnu, you no longer have to give it because I already took care of it. I already paid it. So then maybe they would be believed if they say it in such a way, because that's not a reyesa. The fact that he said tenu is not a reyesa. At the time that he said tenu, he really meant tenu, because at the time that he said tenu, he had not yet paid it back. But maybe they would be believed to say that Abba said that he paid it back after that time, later on, right? Then it would be more binding. Anyway, okay. Boy Rava, Shchiv Mirah Shahoda Mahu. What if a Shchiv Mirah is Moda? Balchov claims Mani Li Biyadcha, and a Shchiv Mirah says, yeah, it's exactly right. Mani Li Biyadcha, I have money of yours. So what's the din? So Tzorich Lomar Atem Edai, or Ain Tzorich Lomar Atem Edai? Do you need to say Atem Edai, or do you not need to say Atem Edai? Tzorich Shiyomak Sovu, meaning in order for it to be binding for the children to pay. Tzorich Shiyomak Sovu, or Ain Tzorich Shiyomak Sovu? Does the Shchiv Mirah have to actually say, give instructions, yeah, you could write this down, I owe money? Or even without the instructions, we assume he really owes the money, he's not just joking around. Adam mashta b'shas misa, oin adam mashta b'shas misa. Do people fool around when they're about to die, or do people not mess around when they're about to die? That's what it boils down to, right? How seriously do we take what he's saying? So basa debaya hadar pashta, ein adam mashta b'shas misa, v'divrei shchivim ha'kiksuv nukum surin dami. Then they answered the shailas, that it's very pashut, when a person's dying, he doesn't mess around, he wants to make sure he has everything right, and divrei shchivim ha'kiksuv nukum surin dami, so apparently you don't need to say atem edai, you don't need to say ksovu, if the shchiv mirah is moda, that's all you need. Shchiv mirah being moda on his deathbed, someone claiming that he owes money, so the money is assumed to, in fact, be owed. Okay, last Mishnah, Maseches Bava Basra. It's a loaded Mishnah, one of the more prominent Mishnayos in Seder Nezikin. Says the Mishnah, Hamalves Chaveru Bishtar Govu Minichas Mishubadim. Right? You would think this would be the last Mishnah Maseches Bava Basra. This is like the most fundamental rule in the whole Maseches, right? If a person's malvis chaver b'shtar, a person lends money to his friend with a shtar, govim minichas mishubadim. You can collect from nichas mishubadim. Al yidei edim, but if he lends without a shtar, just al yidei edim, right? It's a milva al peh, govim minichas mishubadim. And then you can't collect from nichas mishubadim, you can only collect from the chasim b'nei chorin. Says Tosfos over here, hachatnan behedya demilva al peh lo gavi mimushubadim. Says Tosfos, just take note of the fact that this is an afana mishnah, that when you have a milva al peh, it cannot be collected from the chasim mishubadim. Vadibir Rashi Parakani Zakin, he says, the reason I'm pointing this out is if you look in Rashi and Gittin on Nun Aleph, de mazoni isha vabanos govim minichas minichorin lefisha in ktsuvim, Rashi says that mazoni isha vabanos can only be collected from nechas minichorin. Why? Because there's no set amount. Aval hayu ktsuvim, hayu govin afal pishen ktsuvim. But if there was a set amount, they'd be able to collect from nechas mishubadim, even though it's not written mishum davi kim milva al peh, because it's like a milva al peh which can be collected from nechas mishubadim. Rashi says, says lesa vagavriya taloi inba. Right, Rashi assumes that even a milva al peh could collect from the chasim mishubadim. He was just writing his parish on Gittin really quickly. He must have forgotten the afna mission at the end of Maseches Bava Basra. Whoa, right? You have to say something for that, Rashi. But anyway, so it says afna mishnah milva al peh govim nechasim necharin hotzi alav ksav yado shu chayiv lo govim nechasim necharin. If I have your handwriting on a piece of paper that says that you owe me money, I can only collect from the chasim necharin, not from the chasim mishubadim. Why not? It's your handwriting. What could be stronger than your handwriting? So says Rashbam, to lo govim mishubadim ela milva hakasv b'shtar sheyesh bo edim. The only time you could ever be govim nechasim mishubadim is not only that if I have a shtar with edim, dikivin dikatarti shtar ve edim, since you have two factors. It's in writing and they're edim. Mafkile lekala. Then we assume words going to get out. Lukuchos hudaf sidu anafshayu shalo chakru bedavar v'yanichu b'necharei l'mocher ligvos mehem. And we assume that the lukuchos have the right to collect from the lukuchos. You have the right to collect from the chasim mishubadim that have been sold to other people, because those lukuchos were at fault for not doing proper research before they got involved in the purchase of those fields. But if there were no edim, you can't blame the lukuchos, and therefore it's not fair to go and collect from properties that the Lukuchos have bought, because they had no way of finding out. That's why if it's just Ksav Yada without Eidim, you can only collect from the Chasim B'nei Chorin. You cannot collect from the Chasim Mishabadim. Arev Hayotzei L'Achar Chisum Shtaros. If you have an Arev signed onto the Shtar after the signatures, Govim Nechasim B'nei Chorin. You can only collect from the Chasim B'nei Chorin, not from Mishabadim. Maisu balafnei Rabbi Shmuel. The story happened when it came to Rabbi Shmuel. Va'amar govim nechasim b'nei chorin, and Rabbi Shmuel said you can go collect from nechasim b'nei chorin. Amar lo benanas. Benanas says, Einu gov lo minuchas mishubadim lo minuchas minicharin. The orev that signed on lachar chisim shtaros after the chasim on the shtar, you can't collect from that orev at all. Not his nechas mishubadim, not his nechas minicharin. He's not responsible for anything. Amar lo lama. So they said to Benanas, why not? Well, he put his name down as a co-signer. Why can't you collect? Amar lo, he says, let me ask you something. Hari achonik asechad b'shuk. He gave a mashal. He said, you see one guy choking another guy in the shuk. Right? You say, why are you choking him? Why are you going to kill him? He says, this guy owes me money. So he said, leave him alone. I'll pay the money for you. Ashdoretsky told me just yesterday, he went to get an oil change, and a guy comes into the store with a gun and goes to the guy, you overcharged me for the oil change, for my oil change. So he would have been happy to give him $20 just to help him to put away the gun, but calm down. But okay, so he says, you owe me this money, right? So he says, okay, I'll pay you whatever you want. Just put away the gun. Stop choking him. So is he actually going to be chayv to pay him? Potter, shalala menaso hilvo. So then he's going to be potter. He wasn't really doing this based on the loan was not based on the arev's the relying on the arev. Ele ezu arev shu chayv. So what's the case where the arev is really going to be chayv, where he really means it to be mishabed himself, and when that's a basis for the loan, hilvo vani nosin lach chayv. If he says Hilvava ani nosin lach, if you lent him money, don't worry, I'll take care of it in advance, before the money was loaned. Right? It wasn't afterwards where the guy just wants his money back. No, before it was ever loaned. You say, okay, just lend this guy money, I'll take care of it. Shekin al menasa hilvava. Then I was relying on the Arev when I went and I loaned the money in the first place. So that's why that's a case where an Arev is really going to be responsible, where you can actually collect from the Arev. So now the Mishnah just concludes, since it's the last Mishnah Maseches Bava Basra, last Mishnah Maseches Nezikin, the Rishonim assume that it's all one Masechta, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, are all 30 Prakim are one Masechta. And one of the Rayas is that in each Seder and Shas, we always start with the Masechta that has the most Prakim and go down in number. Sanhedrin has 11 Prakim, right? So it's unlikely that we went 10, 10, 10, 11, right? It's more likely that the first Masechta was Maseches Nezikin, and Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, the first part, second part, third part of Maseches Nezikin, just like Maseches Kalim has 30 Prakim, so Maseches Nezikin has 30 Prakim. We just split it into three different parts, but it's really all one big Masechta. And therefore, at the end of the Masechta, at the end of this massive Masechta, Rebbe wanted to be Messiah B'Dvar Agada with the Davar Tov, so he's Messiah with a little bit of Agadata in the Mishnah. Va'amar Rabbi Yishmael, Harotza Sheyachim, Yasuk B'dinim Amunus. If a person wants to gain Chachma, he should be involved in Dinim Amunus. Shein Lecha Miktsoa B'Torah Yosu Mehen. There's no Miktsoa in Torah more than them. Miktsoa means like a topic of Chachma, an area. There's nothing greater than Dinim Amunus. Vehin Kemayin Anoveya. They're like a spring that's flowing. Va'arotza, meaning you'll always gain more Chachma in Dinim Amunus. Va'arotza Sheyasuk B'dinim Amunus. And if you really want to do Dine Mamunis right, Yishamish Shimon Ben Anas. You got to pay attention to Shimon Ben Anas, because that guy was really good in Dine Mamunis. He was very sharp in Dine Mamunis. So the best thing to learn if you want Chachma is Dine Mamunis. The best way to achieve knowledge of Dine Mamunis is by being Mishamish Ben Anas. There's an interesting Ben Yoyada. The Ben Yoyada finds the term Miktsoa to be a little bit unusual. Right? What is the word Miktsoa? Why would they use that word Dafka to describe the topic of Dine Mamunis? So he says, because that word brings to mind other words. The osios of miktsoa are also the osios of tsoakim and the osios of uktsim. Tsoakim, crying out, screaming out, and uktsim, thorns. So he says that that's part of the way Dina Mamunis works, is that there's a lot of screaming back and forth. There's a lot of fighting in Dinim Amunus, and that's the Miktsoa B'Torah. That in a sense of understanding that what's so special about Dinim Amunus is that it deals with people who have issues with each other, right? It deals with Ben Adam L'Chavero issues, where people get much more worked up than they do about Ben Adam L'Makom issues. And it gives the famous mashal that everyone always says, that if you a Rav can paskin in a Din Torah, that this guy, or a Dayan paskins in a Din Torah, that this guy owes a Reuven El Shimon $5, and Reuven's all up in arms. It's a travesty of justice. How can you say I owe him the money? But if the same Rav or the same Dayan were paskin for Reuven, that his $1,000 of schnapps that he has in his house all has to be poured out before Pesach, and he's going to lose it all, and he's not allowed to sell it because he holds it's chametz gomer, he's not allowed to sell chametz gomer, or something like that. So that he would have much less of a problem with. That he'd be okay. That's $1,000. That's $5. No, but Dinim Amunus is miktsoa. There's always talk if it's against somebody else. It's one thing for me to lose, it's another thing for that guy to win. That's much worse. When you see that someone, if for me to lose at nobody's expense, that's fine. For me to lose at the other guy's expense, that's not so fine. That's something that people are not so comfortable with. So anyway, so that's the miktsoa in Torah. That Dina Mamunis is something that's that leads to great chachma. The right, it's pointed out that they say in the B'Shem Rav Huttner, that Dine Mamunas, what's unique about Dine Mamunas is that all the other Siddarim, all the other areas of Torah, you can appreciate that they are uniquely religious discussions. Right, that issues of taharos, right, issues of zra'im, those are uniquely religious things, and you're not going to confuse them with anything secular. Dinim Mamunis is something that you understand everyone has to have Dinim Mamunis. It's something that's and it's sometimes hard to find spirituality and religion in it, but that's exactly the chachma. The chachma is that everything in life is covered by the Torah. That there's no area of life, there's nothing we do in life that's not covered by the Torah. Okay, that's our little agadah. Says Gemara just a little bit. Amar ula Torah. On a Doraisa level, both a milva bishtar and a milva balpeh can collect from nechasim mishubadim, even though in our mission we distinguish them lahalacha. My time is shibudu daraisa, because we assume shibudim are binding me daraisa. Why do we assume milva balpeh can only collect from nechor and not mishubadim? Because we're afraid of the loss to the lekuchos. So by milva bishtar we should also be afraid for the loss to the lekuchos. Now hasam inunim dafsidu and afshayu. Over there we assume they're the ones that are costing themselves, because they should have done proper research to realize that there's a shibud. Rabbi says just the opposite, that on a daraisa level, there's no you can never collect from the chasam shubad. The my time is shibud to love daraisa. The concept of shibud is not daraisa. Why do they say if mil bishtar can collect from shubadim? We want to encourage people to lend money, so we want him to have as many avenues to collect from as possible. Iyachi milva alpen nami. But then why don't we say the same thing about lending money alpeh without a shtar? Hasam less lekala. Now, because over there we assume that there's no kol, and therefore it's not going to be fair to the lukuchos if we're going to allow the milva alpeh to go and collect from the chasim shubadim. So dafka, it's a mil b'shtar. Just a few more lines. Miyom rabba hachi, vam rabba gavu karka, yesh lo gavu ma'us ein lo. So didn't rabba teach us the opposite, that gavu karka, gavu karka, yesh lo gavu ma'us ein lo. V'chite me'epuch, the rabba l'ulo, the ulo l'rabba. You know what, let's pick up from Miyom rabba hachi tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Tomorrow we'll finish Maseches Nezikin.